6, Episode 5, where we watch Sexy Beasts, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Chris Lorenz.
This is Brian.
Hey, this is James.
I'm Harrison Hoffman.
This is BJ.
And a beast.
I'm not a beast. No, a singer. I tried to cover for Max. Yeah. I tried.
That was good. I liked it. Noah, that when you know your name's Noah, that works, but if you didn't. Anyway, this is your first time joining us. We watch a different reality show each week, discussing it in minute detail, figuring out if it's good or bad. Harrison, what show do we watch this week?
Hoping to say goodbye to superficial dating, real-life singles sport elaborate makeup and prosthetics to put true blind date chemistry to the test. That's Sexy Beasts on Netflix.
Who, buddy? This show. Yeah, it's a generic dating show.
I don't know if it's generic.
It's pretty generic.
It is pretty generic.
It is very generic.
The format is very generic.
The format's generic.
But there's one
twist.
We're
talking about high levels here. There's obviously, you know, each show has to have its own gimmick, to say the least, which the show definitely does.
Yeah, I'll say I'm reading the New York Times article about this show, which is shocking. The New York Times wrote an article about this show, but they did, and they go out of their way in the first paragraph to say this is a popular plot.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic dating game show.
Very classic.
Not dating game. What was the dating connection? Was that this was
dating
game. Oh, blind date.
This is not blind dating date. Game.
It's like blind date.
That's it.
There we go.
We haven't done a lot of the classics on that front. But yeah, so one person controls the whole show. This time it's Emma. She's the demon, which we'll get into that. She dates three people very quickly, which we'll get into. And she picks one person and they go out on a date or not. It depends on the show. This one seems like that's actually going to happen, but we'll get into that. So let's get into this. Let's talk about the demon. Harrison, well, tell me about the demon.
Oh, man. So, as you heard in the description, they basically just dress these people up in crazy makeup and prosthetics and everything and get them dressed up so that they can see each other's inner beauty, not what they look like on the outside. So they got her all in this red makeup with horns and a chin that looks like a tiny lobster claw, I think.
Yes.
And it was pretty wild situation.
Like it's all red. Her like fingers and arms are all like makeuped out. She like, this looks like you're in a movie. Like it's like the production quality of a movie right now. And that's nuts.
For sure.
Yeah. It's great. Some little fact from the corner again, citing the New York Times. One of the contestants had 148 different individual pieces on their face to create that mask. Yeah. Maybe not in this episode, but in the show.
Man, I want to know how long it takes for them to put that on their face. And are they shooting this whole thing in one day? They can't be redoing this makeup on multiple days.
They have to be, though.
So I read the same article. Noah, I think you misread that. So they have certain number of contestants, and each contestant can go a max of 3 days if they go through the show. They did not know who would progress to how many dates, and hence they had to make 148 total pieces, which is... that divided by 3 is the number of people that will show up on the show, which each episode shows 4 people, so whatever, you divide that by 12, how many ever people that is.
Oh, make sure you're talking in the mic.
That makes sense. You need like basically 6 masks per episode, 148 divided by 6 in any of your show.
Well, so these masks can't be reused? That seems surprising to me, but I don't know about movie makeup.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, are you saying you can't reuse the same mask on the same show?
Like, no. Right. It sounded like that. Like they're making 3 masks, like for one person.
Oh,
to
I
go
see.
Like each day they wear a different mask, but it's always like the mouse. Yeah,
I think it's just because like it's so form fitting and like made to like fit like that close. Like you just can't like take that off without like ruining it in some way.
Totally,
man. The money spent is nuts. Just like making one of these masks takes somebody so long to do. Let me make 3 different versions of these.
They could have outsourced this to Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge or something.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
This is definitely needs like a co-op with the Face Off or Face War, the Face Wars show, whatever it was called. That's on Sci-Fi, not on Netflix. Anyway, But briefly, we watched a clip. So this show was based on an old UK reality show in 2014, had 6 episodes. It was Dunzo.
It was only 6?
6 episodes.
Wow.
And then it seems like it was re-aired on A&E. It was unclear a little bit if they made their own, but it makes sense that they would re-air it. We watched a clip, and those masks look like garbage.
Really strange. They look sort of like the melted version of these ones. Like, oh, it's, yeah, like sort of like, what's the show where the bakers try to recreate like a fancy cake, but nailed they can't it. Do it? It's like a nailed it version of the good mask.
But like, one thing that we notice in this iteration of the show is the masks generally look good. Like, you're not like disgusted. You're not like, oh, this mask. Well, not really. Maybe a little bit, but not nearly as much as the old one.
The masks are incredible.
No, I know, but compared to the old one, there was an old lady mask, and like they've screwed up her teeth. Like, looked bad. Like, I don't know. Like, that would be a tough thing to like stare out at a date for a while. Yeah.
One thing I find interesting. So the initial airing in 2014, it looks like it was a Valentine's Day special. So they taped, looked like just one show. It aired on February 11th, 2014, right for Valentine's Day, and like, I'm just assuming now it was a hit. Like, people are losing their shit over this. They come back in the summer of 2014, now with a couple episodes to go. They're like, and then people are just like, no, we just like the novelty of that one. Get this out of here.
And then someone at Netflix was like, I really like this.
Apparently.
Let's there bring this back.
They must be really dredging the, you know, the sewers here on this one. I don't get it.
Netflix, no, bring back the mole. That's what you need to do. Forget about this. It's all the mole.
This is all A&E's fault. A&E revived this shit by like re-airing it. That could have died.
I think it was A&E a while ago. I don't think A&E nowadays is.
I still blame them.
That's fair.
This is definitely fitting within the Netflix like approach of getting something that catches people's attention. It's just like, keep getting them month after month, you know? Just got to string them along.
This show certainly makes for a great trailer. We've been talking about this show for weeks coming up here.
Yeah, the trailer was extremely strong.
That's what I was going to say, is like, I feel like this is perfect for Netflix because as you're browsing through content, you get that quick preview and it's going to catch your eye. Like, it just stands visually out there. And so like, I think a trailer, but plus just that visual gimmick, it's very quick to understand what the hell's going on. And so it just click on into it, and then next thing you know, boom.
Also backing up the content team over at Netflix. So this has been adapted in several other countries. Germany has had at least 2 seasons. Tencent over in China greenlit 30 episodes. And South Korea has 13 episodes. Lithuania also has greenlit a version. So there is some appetite, at least in other markets.
But has any of them like ever continued? Like, is this just like one and done season, or is it like they're still ongoing?
This is going to take another layer of the corner.
It kind of seems like it's one and done, and I'm happy about that. They realized their mistake and they walked away.
ABC, have you watched The Mole on Netflix?
No, I watched it on the internet before
Netflix
took it. Yeah,
but they need that data.
I know. I'm going to put it on.
You got to like just loop it.
So I will on repeat.
So they know.
Netflix, here are my 2 pitches for you. You got to bring back The Mole, and you got to do another season of Are You the One? I don't understand why it's gone away, and why are you doing Sexy Beast? What is happening?
Maybe it's COVID related. Anyway, let's get on to the people, the guys in this episode. We got to talk about their costumes. First costume we meet is Bennett. He's the Mandrill. He's a ex-pro volleyball player. That's what they called him. Don't shaking their head at me. It's great audio.
I totally forgot about this, and then I remembered his face when they revealed it, and yeah, he's pro volleyball player.
He's also a boobs guy.
Yes.
that's what they said. Like, this is the level of quality of content we're getting here. Is the intro to these people is just so shallow.
It's weak, but I do appreciate that you, the audience, also do not see them as their real self until the end. So, like, everything you learn about, like, his past dating life and his, like, desires with women are coming from this, like, scary baboon face.
Yeah. Yeah.
The interviews being full costume and you have no clue what they look like is a great touch to the show. Like, I think it's key, actually, that you don't know just as much as the people don't know on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, the reveal's important. We'll talk about the reveal was good. At least one of the reveals was good, which we'll get into. Let's talk about our next costume. We've got Archie. He's a stone man.
He's the thing.
Not a beast, notably not a beast.
True. No.
He's just got some... The makeup for both these is just phenomenal.
It looks incredibly good.
Like, whoever is doing these needs to be on movie stat. Like, don't be doing this garbage. Like, let's get into the movies.
They are. They're probably just all Netflix movies.
It's possible.
I can't wait to see, like, the Snowman when it comes to theaters. Like, that character.
One thing to know about Archie is that he's an ass man. He's the LL Cool Ass Man, as he said himself, self-proclaimed.
That is the only thing I remember about his, what he told us. That's literally it.
That's all I wrote down. So,
he is also the fourth member of the Blue Man Group. Like, he's just wearing this like black turtleneck, and that's the first thing it reminded me of.
Yeah. I feel like it didn't cover his facial features as much as the other costumes did.
No.
Like the mandrill. It's like a full face thing. This one's kind of pretty close to his.
So I agree with you in general, but then when they did the reveal, he definitely looked very different than what I thought he would look. Oh, so yeah. Then they did cover it up pretty well in that case, right?
Yeah. That's fair. I definitely did not see that guy in that costume. So
it was a more human-like face. Because he was not a beast. He was some kind of man of stone.
I would say his face was a lot less chiseled. In some ways, perhaps the stone man was more attractive. Spicy take.
All right. And our last costume, our last guy was Adam. He was the mouse, which...
Oof.
It's a rough costume. It looks, I think it looks great as like if you want to be a mouse, but do you want to date a mouse? Not really.
He kind of looked like a mouse that had been sort of roughed up, or maybe like a hooligan mouse, sort of. He's kind of like a little bit, you know what I mean?
He looks a little sick to me.
There's something not right about that mouse.
Like he had some rabies or something.
Yeah.
He had he was like an albino mouse. Like he just like was too white and like goofy looking. Like, I don't know.
You've seen a mouse? They're pretty white and goofy looking.
I know, but like, that's just not somebody you want to date. Like,
but I think that's the point of the show is like, nobody's like meant to be like you're meant to be look like a beast or like this other creature. No, I don't know. I mean, I guess it is called Sexy Beast. So like, maybe it could have been a sexy mouse, but I don't really know.
I mean,
what you're going for.
This guy was the only one who was actively hard to look at, I think. Like, when he was on screen, it was kind of hard to look at him.
I agree with you, James. It's just like, of the four costumes we saw, this one was like by far the worst. Like in terms of like dating potential.
For sure.
But like in terms of costumes, it was fine.
Did anybody know who chose these costumes? Was it the producers or the people themselves?
This is what I was thinking about. Why do we not get a sequence of them picking the costumes and telling us about how they represent them like the Masked Singer?
It's because of the reveal. They'd have to do like a blacked out testimonial with them talking about what they need in their costume.
No. They could do it in the costume. They could be like, I chose the baboon because I don't know, I like to run through the forest.
Sorry, I thought you wanted to see him actually picking the costume out.
I actually think like based on reading the article, it seems like they had some company just make all the costumes beforehand. So like people can pick out of, you know, whatever the number of options are, but it's not like you're really picking what you're character is.
Here's the thing. I actually think it's the opposite. Like, because I think that this is just like a bunch of rejects from like other dating reality shows. And it's like, well, if you don't do this, we're just going to grab another one.
I was wondering if maybe they're recycling ones from like the season of the past, because in the one clip we watched, there was another devil. And I was like, maybe they're just rebooting all those costumes.
I mean, reality is like how many different kind of creatures can one really think of? Like, I think VJ's coming on something. There's probably like a list of 30 or 40. Like, hey, we have the skill set. We can do these like 40 different kind of costumes. Pick one of the 40.
No, I think they just like made them and then just handed them out, and like maybe the producers like did some sort of matching. The producers probably were like, "Oh yeah, like just based on your face shape, this will fit better, right?" Because we know how cost, like how masks work and stuff. Because like you don't want to like stretch the mask out, and now like it's weird, your nose showing in the middle like that. You don't want to be fucked up like that.
So you're saying the masks are not custom?
No, the level of these masks are custom.
They're customized. But they definitely do a lot of prep work before they know who the people are showing up.
No, they're. I think that you have, in order to get a mask this level, you've got to have like some sort of like thing made of model of your head so that they can make this mask without you being there.
I mean, that's possible. I just don't think they care about the particular contestants enough to do that. To
I mean, they. I'm like, I just don't think you get this level of quality of mask unless
that's
you
fair.
That.
Yeah, I don't. I'm like, I don't know enough about masks.
Well, I was going to say, like, I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but, like, piling on with the Medusa, like, I was very impressed with how expressive people's, like, features were, like, eyes and mouths and nose and stuff. Like, that's a really hard thing to get right in a mask, to your point, which is, like, these masks are really well done. The quality is there. Like, they're making, like, little wink and wrinkled gestures with their nose, like, and it's coming across. Like, and I think that's what is key to this and what was lacking in the 2014 version of the UK show, where, like, you could just tell that I don't know if it's a number of years, like technology has advanced, we've gotten better at it, or like it's just a bigger budget, maybe both.
It just seems like a budget difference. Yeah, but also like the aim of the masks looks super different in this show and the old show. The old show, they're really trying to make those people look ugly. And here, it's just like models at a costume party.
Yeah, I mean, it's to James's point, the costumes are to get you to click play or to make it look interesting on Netflix. It is not anything to add really anything to this dating show or retract attractiveness for this dating show. Nothing to do with that. I could see why Netflix would have picked the show to do it. So that said, let's get into the actual dates. So they go to this bar, which I assume is like just attached to this mansion that they're at. But unclear if they go to a real bar or not. And they do like kind of like a, they're at the bar side by side and they do like one-on-one dates. I've got some notes written down. Bennett, the volleyball, the mandrill, said he's going to try to be loyal. And everyone in this room said, nope, he's done. Can't say that. And he's not done.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna try and be loyal, but there's a lot of temptation out there. Like, what?
Just insanity. You cannot say that.
No.
Just Bennett. You can lie. Bennett.
He's just setting the he's setting the expectations, you know? There might be some mild cheating. You know? The contract is written right there in the first 10 minutes of this fucking relationship. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they know what they're getting into.
Also, I don't know if we mentioned this. There are no stakes on this show, really.
No.
You don't have to get engaged. You don't win money. There's really no... This is just for fun. This is just chilling.
Man, if you had to get engaged or married, and it was like a married at first sight combo with this, and the first time you see their face, you're married to them?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But like post-marriage, like post the I do's, right?
Oh, yeah. You basically
sexy beast wedding.
You basically say I do, and then you rip the mask off and make out.
The kiss is after the the reveal. Some notes about the mouse. He was Adam. He was mansplaining banter, which was interesting for a first date.
Well, it was also just weird. She didn't seem to understand what it was, and then there's a shot of her like kind of the testimonial, and she's like, banter? What is that?
I think that was a play off the mansplaining. Like, she didn't know what banter was. But these people are pretty young, so maybe she doesn't know.
Yeah, I felt like she really didn't know. It was strange. People just didn't know, couldn't talk to each other.
Yeah, I really thought they were gonna hit us over the head with the mansplaining, but it never came. And I was like, oh, okay. we'll just move on.
And then some notes about Archie. They were drinking. And he said he was drinking straight whiskey, and there was a giant straw in his drink. Yeah. And I was like, ugh, that's gross. Do whiskey through a straw?
Can I have a whiskey on the rocks with a straw, please?
I mean, I wonder if the mask or the prosthetics prevented him from actually bringing that glass up to the lips.
Yeah, no way.
You're right.
Or maybe he was he had COVID and he couldn't like lift the glass.
Hold up, hold up. So you think the dude has COVID and they're still airing the show?
No. It was a reference to Trump, but
Sorry, it was too alarming of a statement they threw me.
It was too deep of a cut.
It was very deep. Yeah.
Deep cut. Also, a funny thing Archie said was that they were, he was a model. You know, he said it was easy, you know, but they didn't pay much. And when she said she was a model, which is, you know, not something you want to say about somebody's profession at all, ever.
Yeah. Well, I think actually, well, maybe I'm wrong. I thought she said it first because he was like.
She said that she was a model.
Yeah.
Then he chimes in. Yeah. Says he was a model and it was easy. They didn't pay much. Like, just like belittling her modeling career.
Yeah, it was kind of both belittling her modeling career, but also sort of a self burn as to how bad of a model he was. I thought
he was also he swung his shoulders, you know, like put his shoulder in, shoulder out, like he was like doing model tricks or something.
It seems like that she is a model and he was an extra. Like that's kind of what it seems like, and so he doesn't understand that there's a difference in their professions.
Yeah, I mean he is doing modeling for like. You know, some bargain basement thing, maybe, if he's doing anything.
Also, is he the one who said we should go to this bar in my hometown and bang there?
That was the mouse. That was the mouse. That was the Birmingham guy.
Birmingham, yeah.
The mouse also said he wears lady perfume, which is because girls like it.
Yeah, this was a cool strategy.
I don't think it's a cool strategy. I don't think that works at all.
Well, ladies like how it smells, so they'll like it on me, a mouse. You know. This guy had some game.
Did he though?
No. No. This is the worst episode of The Bachelor I've ever seen.
I have one more note about this segment, is that Archie said that like he wants to travel the world, but he doesn't want to go to the burger joint in Italy. He wants culture because he wants to go get pasta in Italy. You know, can't go to the
really
tourist burger place. I got to go to the tourist pasta place.
Really controversial.
Really controversial. Really stepping his dreams high.
Ooh. Ooh.
I've always wanted to try those Italian burgers.
Then after this date, they go to the Sexy Beast Manor, or they were already there, unclear. Then she votes somebody out, which is Annabeth. Who was it?
It was the mouse, whose name I don't care about.
Adam.
She also makes it out. She makes it very clear before she votes someone out that she doesn't like any of these guys.
She's like, you guys are going to have to step it up.
She points out like a pretty significant problem with each of them. Like, you know, they're all in a room together and she kind of goes one by one and kind of burns them. And then she's like, all right, well, now I have to get rid of one.
Which, you know, kind of should have set the tone for the rest of the episode, but then it didn't.
No.
She kind of got a rough crop of dudes, it seemed like, out of the gate here.
Well, it's like all these dating shows where it's like The Bachelor style, where it's like, what if they don't want to date her? They're trapped in this thing. What if she doesn't like any of them? She's trapped in this thing. We all just got to make it work.
It's all for TV.
It does seem like they took the feedback and were much better human beings the next day.
That's true. Also, I mean, like, I don't know how long the first segment was. It didn't seem very long, like how long they were in the same room together. But she specifically said that he was rude, and she was fine with him going. But his reveal was so good. He does this like arm maneuver as the mouse over his face, then they strong cut to him without the mask. It was great. It was the best reveal.
He was a man.
He was a man. He was a man, baby.
Well, and they make so the other three seem to have to wait in the manor for this guy to go, like, get de-makeuped and shower and dressed and everything. I want to know how long they were just sitting there.
Oh, and then they reveal, and all three of them are there, and it's very awkward.
And no one says it there. Everyone's like, okay.
Oh, that's you. All right.
You're a man.
All right. We get to see it. all right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye. See ya. It's very awkward.
Then... Pretty sure one of the guys said he's a very attractive man.
Then Adam, the mouse guy, got to look at a picture of her just on a phone. And he's like, oh, okay. She's pretty hot.
There was a statement from somebody in this room that was like, oh, does he get to see her? Like, and, you know, we got to find out.
Yeah. That reaction, though, underwhelming.
Very underwhelming.
All around.
Then after this, they go on real dates, like longer dates, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But one was like a foot massage, which was real, like...
It was a spa day.
Spa day.
It was a spa, the whole... I don't remember what else happened.
Well, they went to, like, that big hot tub pool, and they were drinking champagne.
Champagne?
Yeah.
I was probably taking notes.
Spa day seems difficult in the sexy beast outfits.
Mm-hmm.
It seems hard to really enjoy the, you know, the essence of the spa mm-hmm. when you're just yeah. fully masked in, like, this getup.
You're sweating.
There was a point where, like, they got in near a pool, and they just could put their feet in, because obviously, like, everything, like, it's going to go off.
Like, she can't even get her hands in this pool, because, yeah. like, her hands have all, like, it's, like, black makeup on.
Yeah, because she has hooves. She's the devil.
And they did, like, a foot massage, because they couldn't get massages. And, like, the announcer was like, this is for all the foot people out there. And it was like, I'm an anti-foot person. This is really disturbing.
You're anti-feet?
Like, I don't need to see people's feet. Like,
what's going on here? Can we dive deeper into this?
No, we don't need to dive deeper.
I just don't care. Like, I don't care to see people's feet. Like,
no, I get not caring about it, but like, that's not anti-feet.
No, well, I just don't need to see close-ups of feet on my giant 65-inch TV. Like, that's my level.
I mean, those shots were weird. Like, I'm not debating that part.
Some of it was weird.
I think you need to just confront your uncomforts.
Why didn't they do leg massages? Like, they could have, like, at least gotten massages on their legs. I don't think they had makeup below the waist.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe it's too much of a hint to their beautiful body. Maybe.
They really just wanted to lean in on the narrator making the foot fetish jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
that seemed like that was the bit.
This was a long segment of the feet stuff.
Yeah.
There sort of was like that montage of just different angles of the feet with the different rubbings and the lotions. And the narrator all the while is just leaning in on it.
I didn't need this.
So not a fan of Quentin Tarantino.
Like, Quentin Tarantino's got a shot of a foot, and then we move on. We don't linger on it. We don't make jokes about it. Like,
I don't know. I think, like, who do you think their target audience is for this show?
They said it.
So everyone, send your foot pics to at who put this on.
Send it.
All right. I thought this like date idea was terrible. Like a spa day for like a first real first date? No.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they get to have a conversation while they're getting their feet rubbed, but they're sitting side by side and it's kind of weird and there are two other people in the room. And then there's a whole weird thing where they're guessing ages, which doesn't go very well.
Well, he guesses her correctly. Then
yeah.
He has to guess somebody else's age. Like, what is this stupid? And then he.
No, Chris, you're right. It's a stupid game.
It's a stupid. Yeah.
It's a stupid.
And it was just like a giant burn. Like, I don't even know like if it was real, because like, who's going to be that dumb? Like, okay, so the whole thing was like with the second person, he guessed like a very high number when the obvious thing to do always during this game is go low.
Can we all just agree as a society, just stop asking the age guessing game?
Yeah.
It's not helping anybody. It's lose-lose. Everyone's lying anyways. Let's just move on from the question.
I mean, it seemed like his strategy with the person he was dating was good, because he went as low as you could go. He went 21 because they were drinking at the bar. You can't go any lower than that.
They're in England.
Oh, they're in England. Oh, you could have gone all the way down to 16, I guess, then.
Is it 16 or 18?
18, 16?
Either way. Yeah.
16 would still be illegal for him to date, though.
Yeah,
like,
well,
the drinking part aside, like, there's still that problem.
I don't know what the laws are in England.
Yeah, it's England. Yeah, we don't. Who knows? Who knows what they're doing over there?
21 seemed like a very like low guess. Like, but then she said that was correct.
Yeah.
So is everyone in the show 21? We never really figured out everyone's ages.
They're definitely young.
Yeah.
Like, they're definitely under 25 just based on their looks.
One of the articles I read said like low 20s for most, if not all of them.
Mm.
Makes sense.
I mean, you got to be at an age where you got some time.
Come in and this makeup for
yeah, this makeup and everything, right? So it's like post drinking age, pre, like, okay, I have a real job. It's
3 days. The whole thing only takes 3 days. It's not that long. It's way shorter than like most other reality TV we watch.
Yeah, but I think they got to buy into the bit, and there's no money. There's zero money.
The money part is true.
Well, yeah. they get paid to be on the show.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
A very
you
small
have,
amount.
You have to get paid.
It's all for that like influencer cred. You know, I'm sure they're pimping their like sexy beast swag.
Yo, you got to look up the demon on the gram now. I can't just be bringing that up and not leave us.
I can't believe you didn't look up the demon on the gram.
That's usually part of my shtick.
Yeah,
but,
that's your goal. That's
I got
your goal.
More into like the business side of this, like where they spun it off, the licensing, who greenlit it. I didn't go into the character.
That's all super good. Let me get back to me with an update on the demon on the gram. Yeah, got to know.
It's a great call.
No, by the way, you were asking all the exact questions that lead up to who put this on.
That's why our show is called it.
All right, so let's move on to the second date here. They go to an amusement park, which sounds like a way better second date or yes. first date than a spa day.
I will say, though, that's a very aggressive second date. Like a spa, you're committing to an hour. You can bounce. Amusement park, you're in, and you have a car ride. Amusement parks aren't near anything. It's a several-hour car ride.
Noah, you've committed to a long time when you've committed to this show.
But it's a second date. A second date, like, you need an escape hatch.
Well, we don't know how far the spa was.
Well, also, I don't think when you're on this TV show, you can just walk yeah, away from just, there's no escape
that's
hatch.
That's what I was trying to tell Noah.
You didn't drive yourself there.
Well, also, like, when you're in an amusement park and you don't have to wait in line, it does not take that long. They show them on three rides. That whole thing could be done in like 25 minutes.
They must have gotten priority access to those rides.
Also, unlike our high school days, they probably didn't ride on the same bus together.
That's true. Also, how is a spa not a really aggressive second date? If some guy asked me to go to a spa on the second date, no.
I think that's doable. Like, it depends, because a spa you can easily get to. to me, it's about the
duration. Your concern is how bad public transport is in the US, 100%. But the show's in the UK. 100%. So it doesn't apply. The show's in a different country. The rules don't apply.
Theme parks are in the middle of nowhere. They need all that space.
Firstly, that like your definition of where theme parks are doesn't apply to UK. I don't know where the
it,
hell
it
they
definitely
are.
Matters.
And a train system's definitely way better there.
You
so
still
that's
need a lot of
be
space
way
for a theme
go back
park.
And forth, even though they're actually being shuttled by the producers and not themselves.
This
anyway.
Is all about time commitment for the date.
They 3 days.
Day, you don't want to commit.
Commitment
still.
For the demon. That's all that's happening.
No,
they're on the show. 3 day commitment.
Yeah, no.
That's just what's happening.
All right,
this is less about the show and more about the concept of a second date where Chris started. Bad idea for a second date.
You want to get a foot massage together on the second date?
Much more than a theme park. Totally.
Oh, I don't know. Theme park, pretty chill and casual. Foot massage?
You have the whole car ride. You're going to finish conversation in like 30 minutes.
What is about the car ride? We're talking about the date.
You got to stop indexing on the car ride because you don't know any details of this car ride that you're making
up.
Oh,
man. So you're going to meet someone at the theme park and rent separate cars?
This big budget show can definitely rent two fucking cars.
He's talking about his own life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about the show. It's the idea of a theme park for a second
Dude,
date.
Also, Noah, you live within driving into the theme parks. They're not like Disney World, but like they're like small little theme parks. Like there are local parks. These things exist. You can go to them within a date's drive away.
This was Thorpe Park, which looked like a Six Flags type of ordeal. It was pretty big. It is a reasonable amount of time.
But again, if you live near one of those, like let's say you live like 30, 40 minutes away from one of those places. Like
they were in London.
Oh my God. Right. You're indexing way too hard on that.
How far is this theme park from London?
Yeah, I'm putting it up right now.
What we're really learning is Noah just has a radius that he's willing to drive.
Call now. Both dates' ideas are bad for your second date. Okay, that's all we need to know.
I have one more question for Noah. I have a question for Noah. How much will you drive for the second date? What is the distance where it's unacceptable?
So I believe until you're like really in it to win it, 30-minute travel time tops. Like tops, right? Because if it's in a city, it could take like 30 minutes. For the record, Thorpe Park by public transit from central London. is a little less than an hour and a half.
That's not bad.
About 45-minute drive.
That's not actually worth it.
slightly outside your range.
Just to be clear, so that's just to get very particular on this, that's not where they come from. They come from Nebworth House, which is the mansion that they use for the show, which is the same mansion used in 1989 Batman. And what? That is an hour drive from the Thor Park.
Okay, so a little bit further.
Man, we went deep in the corner.
Yeah.
Do you think these people, okay, back to the drive. Do you think these people get to be in the same producer bus on the way back? Like, do they get to talk more, or are they separated?
Now they're isolated for sure.
You can't talk. They need all that juicy content for the TV, dude.
Yeah, they need the juice.
Film
them in there.
Yeah.
And Ari Love Wagon, that is where love is born. It's in the drive.
Did they? So I'm a little caught in a corner right now. Did they say that woman's last name?
No. Her name was Emma, though.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I guess she hasn't blown up yet from this show.
I'd really like to talk about how fake this date was. Like, they photoshopped, like, people into this video. They fake rained it. Like, why the hell did they put that much effort into this?
Money. Dollar bills, Brian. They got to go on the screen.
The people were the weirdest part. Like, nobody's like just... Nobody's going to film you just stopping, like, watching, like, somebody doing a ride. And then it's the same people. And then they also Photoshop somebody into, like, the cups who's just, like, staring straight up in the air and does not care about this ride whatsoever. Why are you on it?
COVID. So they couldn't film any, like, crowd shots. So they have...
No, but my point is, like, why do that? Just have a private park. That's way more understandable than putting these people there.
Because people... You know, why is there a crowd in that stupid...
We also asked that question. Why do they do that?
Like, why are there fake crowds? I don't know, Brian. Some reason producers decide that they need a fake crowd, so there's a fake crowd.
That's just money you're leaving on the table for people to take away. You could save it and make another Adam Sandler movie or something, Netflix.
I feel like I zoned out a bit during this part, and I didn't even notice. So...
All my notes for that section are about how fake this is.
Here's something that happened on this date that I remember. Is they're like riding this ride that like pulls you up in the air and then like drops you, and it's very dramatic. And like while they're waiting to go up, the guy like turns to her and he's like, "So where's the weirdest place you've had sex?"
That was in my notes.
That is the exact place where you want to ask that question. That's where so natural. There is nowhere to go. You have to go up with a scary ride.
And she said in public for the people that want to know.
Not very descriptive, though.
No, he didn't give his, I believe. I don't remember.
I don't think so.
No one cares.
Does anyone else think that this was the turning point where that like sealed the deal? Like, we've already kind of spoiled it a bit, but like, I feel like this for me was the turning point of like, she was now in. Like, this question was like the cue. She's like, yes, this is going to happen.
I think the turning point was that this was fun.
Mm.
The spa day, not fun.
Yeah. No, for sure. She did, like, they both seemed to be just genuinely having more fun than the other situation.
It's just a more fun thing to do.
For sure.
It's a way more fun thing to do. He's also bringing a lot of weird sexual energy dressed as the baboon. In the teacups, what does he say in the teacups? He was like really, when you told me to step it up, when you were eliminating that mouse man, when you told me to step it up, that was so hot. She was like, totally. Ooh.
I think it was just like a combination of these things where like you could see the sexual like tensions were like, oh yeah, this is working. They were vibing.
And it leads to them making out in their masks.
That was a wild moment.
And rubbing noses in masks.
Horrible.
In the fake rain scene.
The rain scene had to be fake, right? Like it had to be one of those stage
there
things.
Was so much fakeness about that.
We had been seeing in some testimonials that he had some red stuff like in his beard underneath his mouth, and we didn't know what it was or if he had some cotton candy or like what that was from, but then we realized that it was her red face paint from making out in those masks. It was amazing.
Yeah. This is the level of mask we're talking about, is that they can make out in these masks. And it doesn't look like them at all. Like, realistically, it's nuts. This is like mask master level. Like, they must have spent so much money to make these masks.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
She really has to get in there to get past his baboon nose.
Oh, yeah. She's committed. She really wanted it. So after this, they go back to the mansion and they do a reveal of who is her sexy beast. And Bennett was her sexy beast. The baboon or man, what is it called? Mandrill. What's a mandrill?
I don't know.
Does anyone know what the fuck a mandrill is?
What do you mean? Like,
what is it?
It's a mandrill.
It's a type of monkey, and it has that big, the males have that big red nose.
It's like Rafiki.
So it's just like a different kind of baboon.
It's sort of like a baboon, but not. And then that nose gets more colorful the more horny it is, I think.
Does it really?
No, it's how old it is.
Oh, it's how old it is?
Direct correlation.
I'm glad I asked.
Something like that.
There might be a correlation, though, there still.
Yeah, I think it's like when the males are sexually mature, their noses get all red, and then the ladies know it's time.
It's an indicator of that male strength in the mandrill community, I think.
Which we call testosterone.
Yes, that.
All right, so after this, they get all their makeup off, and they go to the Twinkling Theater of Dreams, or the Tunnel of Love, as they called it both in the show, where they do the final reveals, so we get to see what Emma actually looked like. She was pretty hot. Like, there's, you know, I mean, everyone in the show is attractive, so I don't understand the mask thing at all. Like,
it's just whether these attractive people are attracted to other attractive people with like those particular qualities. That's what's masked.
I mean, that's how all these shows really are. Yeah. But like, the chances you find this other person attractive is just like so high. Like, you know, you've done all these fun things together. And like, oh, he's got a weird dimple. He doesn't even have weird dimples. He looks normally hot. Like all the guys were hot. She was hot. Like everyone was hot.
No one has a suspicious face tattoo.
I do feel like Bennett looked a little bit more normal than like your stereotypical hot. Like he was the pro like volleyball guy, right? Like, I don't know. I saw a little bit of some double chin, like a little more like facial, like kind of like fatness, not calling him fat, but just, you know, a little more meat. Like, just what I'm trying to say is not a stereotypical like model attractive kind of look.
I mean, what you're saying is he was the least attractive guy on the show.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he looked more normal compared to like the supermodel like look.
Man, yeah, let's talk about roast me segment of this.
He was like the athlete kind of like hot guy versus like the model hot guy.
Got it.
Yeah, I actually think all the contestants, they were good looking. They were not abnormally good looking.
Yeah, I kind of put them down as a group of too hot to handle rejects.
Oh, man. You guys are the ones turning into a burn session. Man. I was just saying the
too
one
too hot
guy.
To handle were much hotter.
Yeah, that was the implication.
Yeah.
So like, you guys need to like stack rank like the hotness of all these different shows, right?
When we're saying contestants, we're not including Emma, right? Because she was definitely TV hot. Like
Noah was unimpressed. He just said,
I don't know what to tell you.
No, like they're all good looking, but I think like on Too Hot to Handle, they look like Sports Illustrated people.
She could fit into Too Hot to Handle, no problem. No problem. I mean, she would have been hotter than most of the people there.
Oh man, there's some discrepancy here. I don't know how to figure this out.
You might be more familiar in Too Hot to Handle than I am. I didn't really get into it that much, I think, beyond the show or the pod.
One thing that we could talk about Noah is at this reveal, she sees him for the first time, and Noah thought that she was going to be upset because he wasn't as attractive as she thought he was. And then they immediately come up and make out, and we're like, guess you were wrong, Noah.
Oh, yeah. So the guy positions himself as a former pro beach volleyball person from Southern California. So I'm thinking he's like some Stretch Armstrong like looking guy, right? And
Stretch Armstrong a hot guy?
I mean, he's got really long arms. He's got the like blonde hair, you know, like the V thing going on. Obviously, he's very stretchy, which is not really relevant here, but he has that look down where this guy looks like cross between like a stoner and a bushwhacker.
I can't. That's too good. Now I gotta know what a bushwhacker looks like.
Oh, you don't know the bushwhacker?
No, so please, dude.
They were
share.
A WWF tag team duo in the 90s. So if you look them up, they have a striking resemblance to this guy.
Noah, you officially won the roasting corner.
I thought you were going to, like, you could say, like, David Hasselhoff, not, like, the Stretch Armstrong guy.
It is definitely more Stretch Armstrong.
I know, but, like, David Hasselhoff is the real thing you want to compare it to.
So,
unlike the Bushwhackers, this guy was not balding.
No.
He was not, like, ripping out of his clothes or making goofy faces the whole time, because every photo I can look at on the internet about these Bushwhacker folks, their faces are goofy as fuck.
That's why it's a crossover, because the long hair has, like, that vibe go for me in the stoner side, like the long curly hair. But that face of the Bushwhacker, I think he gives off that vibe for me personally.
All right. Well, that was the show. I think we've gone over all the minutia, all the issues of the show.
Oh.
We got a note. It was at this point in the show. I'm pretty sure we all had the same reaction. We were totally waiting for the next round of, like, the groups to come through and a part two of this thing, and it just ended here, which was kind of refreshing.
That was it.
It was great. It wasn't like that dating game, the celebrity dating game. Oh.
Man, I feel like that show scarred you. You've brought that show up at least three times on this pod.
Shoot me now. Let's get into some questions. This is an interesting one. Who's the worst human being on the show?
Ooh. The mouse?
I mean, the mouse was rude to the host, judge.
I mean, what about the dude saying that he's probably going to cheat on her?
I was honestly, like, it might be my vote. Like, you're just like, that might be the rudest, like, thing, the worst thing anyone said this whole episode.
Well, he got the girl.
He did. And that's, you know, maybe, you know, she's getting it.
I know, she knew. He was upfront.
Very upfront about it.
Noah, who do you think is the worst human
being? Yeah, I've been debating this. There wasn't that many characters introduced in the show, right? Like,
there's four people. You get to pick.
Well, there's four
plus the narrator.
Yeah, we have the narrator. We have the two foot masseuses.
Mm-hmm.
We have random people in the theme park. Yeah, no one really stood out, I gotta say.
Yeah, the random people in the theme park are the worst human beings.
I'm just saying, this is literally...
I mean, maybe it's the people in the bar who kept looking at the camera and ruining the shot.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good call.
You mean the extras they had?
Yeah, exactly.
But dude, if they're extras, do your job right. Yeah. Don't stare at the camera.
Right.
It's CGI.
Yeah. If it's CGI, do the CGI, right, Brian?
Every single one of them did.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Why would they make CGI people that are ruining the shot?
That's a great question, because I don't think any human really acts like that.
I think these weren't properly trained extras. They just happened to be there. They're like, hey, we're going to do this thing. You're in the shot now. We're going to give you $50.
This is all COVID stuff. They had to get tested.
This is the worst extras I've ever seen.
I think it's just the worst directing. It's the directors that tell them what to do.
Yeah, like they can also go and reshoot this. Like, they're still on the fucking set. They can't just walk away. They're not one and done it.
I think I got to look in the corner for this, but you keep saying it's COVID stuff. They're at a theme park. Nobody had a mask on. I think this is pre-COVID.
No one was there.
There was nobody in that theme park.
There was pixels.
The wait time was 5 minutes on the sign. They showed a sign of a wait line. It was 5 minutes.
Either they had some B-roll of random folk in theme parks that like B-roll gaping faces.
B-roll doesn't mean when they actually filmed it.
To the corner.
It's called iStock photo. You just get that.
No, for real. But like the theme park had to be operational. Like I wouldn't be shocked. This is taped 2019. And they had
it's possible.
You got to figure this out, because I thought this was a very COVID doable show. There's no people on this thing. Like, there's four people, basically.
What about the spa, though?
Yeah.
There are spas open. Like, you can do certain protocols. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying, I don't know.
I'm coming around to Noah. I think maybe it's not COVID. It does seem too weird.
It's a very COVID doable show. COVID doesn't mean it was filmed during COVID, but... They did some weird photoshopping, according to Brian. So, why would you do that if it wasn't COVID?
For fun.
it's to trick us. So stupid.
It does have the vibe to me that they blew the whole budget on these beautiful masks, and then everything else is weirdly cobbled together.
Because Netflix only cares about the masks.
I know, and they made an amazing trailer.
That's all they need.
That's all they needed for us to all gather today.
Yes. So the announcer, people on the internet corner, is the announcer someone? Like, I can't find who the announcer is.
It's Rob Delaney.
So is this?
Mm.
Oh, and who is that again? I can't remember.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, I can find out. Like, I'll look up like what else.
Okay, we'll get back to that question because we need to figure out if it's an Apex downgrade or upgrade for this announcer, which is our next question. Let's get into drinking rules because I think that's what we all need right now. Some fun, Brian. Give me a drinking rule.
Drink whenever there's a sexual joke made.
So you want people to get really drunk?
As all, when does my emo change?
Noah, do you have a drinking rule?
Every time you are distracted by the devil's chin, take a drink, and feel free to scratch yourself.
ABC, you got a drinking rule?
Ah, no, maybe every time there's some odd bit of editing.
Classic. Harrison, you got a drinking rule?
Every time you see those beasts smooching, you got to take a drink.
Well, that's a shot.
Yeah, I guess that might be a finisher drink.
It's a long drink. James, you have a drinking rule?
Yeah, I mean, Harrison stole the one for the taking there. But I'll kind of build off of that one, which is, and I think it's in the trailer. But anytime they're out in public and there's just people staring at them, and like the show just kind of keeps focusing on that element of it.
Maybe that's why the people in the bar were staring at them, because they wanted to have this vibe of like, oh, these are people are crazy. We're staring at them, even though they're clearly extras just staring at them. So it doesn't look like that at all. Maybe that's.
Really, I think you might be onto something there, because that is part of the show, which is like, whoa, look at these crazy people in these outfits. What are they doing? Right. But like, I agree. It doesn't come across quite right in the small bar speed dating situation because it feels too teed up. Right. Like the theme park, it makes sense. You're like, oh, they're somewhere public. These people, like, it's very reasonable to assume have no idea what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. But the people in this bar, like, you know, they know what's going on.
Like, there's cameras like set up, the bar is reserved.
In both of these locations, there's a film crew, you know what's going on.
No. There's a difference between, like, okay, there's a film crew outside on the street doing something, you happen to be walking by, being like, I wonder what's going on, versus like, oh, I'm in this bar, like, there are signs, I've signed a waiver. Yeah. You know, that's a different situation.
Anyway, I think a good drinking rule is drink when they drink. There's a lot of drinking in this kind of show, so drink.
Yeah. Simple, but it works.
Always.
Back to the Rob Delaney question. So he's had a couple of minor roles in movies, including Hobbs and Shaw and Deadpool 2. But his main thing is he's the co-star and co-writer of the show Catastrophe. I think that's on Amazon or Hulu or something. And he is, like, you know, one of the two main characters. So that is definitely Apex for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, like, I don't even know who he was based on, like, the host of the shows or, like, the announcer. So definitely not. Let's get into Brian. Do you have any other minutiae you want to talk about, or a baffling moment or cringeworthy moment?
Okay, minor minutia, like the very first thing I wrote is, oh no.
is that like a thing for your rating right there?
No, actually, it's not. But then, like, so just the awkward reveal, like, I cringe so hard that. They just revealed, like, oh, yeah, here you won. And then they're just hugging in front of, like, the loser. Like, why do you not walk away? Like, what the?
That was really awkward. I forgot to bring that up. That was a really cringy moment. All the reveals were cringy because, like, the losers were there and they just stared. It was really awkward.
And no one showed any emotion at all.
There was no, well... You know, there's no emotions. They're all wearing these masks. The emotions also might be a little hidden. Mm-hmm. So it's just, what is the emotion of the guy that got the second place? Just like, well, you're really hot. And you didn't beg me. Oh, I'll see you later.
I guess. Bye.
That was definitely.
Hey, yeah. Else has one. There was another one.
Go ahead.
So after the mouse was rejected, she was like, oh, maybe we can still go to that pub sometime. And the mouse says, maybe not.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, definitely not happening. No. So we talked about the production schedule already. 3 days per episode, which is nuts.
I can't find when they shot it.
Oh, no. Damn. You failed us? The internet like, corner?
They really seem to keep us under a lock. Like, I went to the contestants' like Instagram and see, like, okay, when are they shooting photos from London? And it's on lock.
Do we have the update on the Emma, her Instagram?
VJ should give this update because he got it.
What about her Instagram? I found it. She has 6,500 followers, which is not a lot. But her YouTube, on the other hand, does have 62,000 people. So it seems like that's where more of her following is. But Noah found that the videos are pretty old, so I'm not sure how active this account is.
It's actually quite strange. So she has 62,000 subscribers on YouTube, right? But when looking at all her videos, she only has like two or three videos that have more than 62,000 views from 2-3 years ago. So like something a little wacky is going on, right? You'd expect like video view count to be much higher than subscribers, and it's not. So I don't know what's happening
here. Man, we're really deep in the corner right now.
Emma, we are on to you. Whatever you've done. We're deep. We're coming after you.
We're deep, guys.
Hey, I have another cringeworthy thing. Can I bring it up now?
Yeah, yes. Cringeworthy.
We didn't talk about the kiss at the end and how it was the most horrible thing to watch. This dude bites her lip and pulls it like 3 inches from her body. It's horrible.
I don't know. I take that over the feet thing.
I mean, the feet was a lot.
There's just too much feet. I'll take this really weird makeout session over, like, this passionate makeout session over this, like, weird foot massage that went on for too long.
What if this is a bit that, what if they do a foot rub in every episode of this show?
I think Quentin Tarantino has a lot to do with this. If so,
he's directing.
It's possible. I assume no one else has any other moments. All right. Let's do our second to last favorite question. Would the show be better as a Quibi? Oh,
damn, I'm ready for the most favorite question.
Yeah, you are. I say no. I think that this is probably as sure as you can make this.
It feels like a Quibi already, almost.
Yeah, I think you can definitely quibitize this. Because like what you're selling is the mask, right? Like that's the novelty. And I think this concept has been proven to be a Quibi. Like they've had dating shows on there, so to me this is easy quib.
Easy quib.
It's a quick quib.
Quib it.
All right. What about you, Brian? Break the tie. Quibi or no Quibi?
I think Quibi.
All right. There you have it.
I'm also team Quibi.
Quibi? All right. You guys, Quibi's got it. All right.
Put on Quibi.
Or Roku, as it's now known.
You know, I think Roku has longer form content than Quibi does. So, like, Quibi really sets it in stone what kind of content we're talking about. We could go like YouTube Short or a TikTok, you know, if you want to elevate, come to more modern times. All right, let's get to James's favorite question.
Oh,
ratings. So we do a stack.
No, rank? No. That's not the favorite question. The favorite question is, would the show be better if they were naked?
No.
And so hear me out on this.
This is a callback.
No, but like, here's the thing with this show. They're still wearing normal ass clothes and they're still like, you know, you could see kind of their general like physique-ish. Not saying it's perfect, but I'm saying like, you're getting a vibe. Like, boobs guy definitely got a good look at her boobs. Just saying. Butt guy, he was looking at the butt. So I'm just saying to really rule it out and determine if you can find love with not on the outside, but on the inside, I think you got to go full Masked Singer get up, head to toe, full costume.
Yeah.
So that's my play on the naked. So they're naked beast, but they are not personally naked.
Or you could go the other way with it, and it's just full body paint beast situation.
I mean, you could.
Now
I'm in.
That seems like it's the opposite naked of love on the outside, kind of, or like love on the inside thing.
100%.
or just do it naked. What about, are we just ruling
is
that
this
out?
Just dating naked?
If it's a private bar, a private roller coaster?
So is it regular beast head, and then where do they stop painting your body, or is it
just somewhere around your neck area,
and then just normal human body?
Then you're just butt naked.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think you make a good trailer with that. So.
Oh, I think you make a really good trailer.
They've already have dating naked. They already have that.
You do the trailer. You do some beast face and butt, And that's your trailer.
Wait, is Dating Naked a real thing?
Yeah.
I threw it out there. I didn't know it was a real
thing. Dating Naked is a show we've done on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were probably on that podcast.
Well, I know there's Naked and Afraid, but then that's not a dating show. And then there was the UK show, which was like, I didn't think it was dating.
Naked
I thought,
Attraction.
Naked Attraction. Okay. I had to clarify because I'm like, wait, hold the phone.
Naked Attraction is most what VJ wants or what this show would become.
Right.
Because you compare people naked from like the like head down. Which is like what you're describing. But you don't actually get to interact with any of them while they're, you just get to judge their nakedness.
And I feel like if any of us want to venture to Pornhub, I have to imagine as a full on genre of people with painted heads, naked body.
yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to go the full furry route, I think would definitely make the show a little bit better. You get, you know, slightly less attractive people, maybe, and that like normal ass looking people, and see if it actually would work.
That would fulfill the promise. Like the way you teed this up prior to the pod was the masked dancer, but dating, and they are full furry.
Well, I teed it up. I didn't tee anything.
I thought you teed it up.
I just said there's a sexy B show. Here's a trailer.
Someone phrase this as, oh, James did, okay. The mass dancer, but dating, which is furried.
Mass singer, but yes.
Ah, mass singer.
You were so close.
So close. I got lost in the MCU.
All right. Let's get to our real favorite question, which is ratings. So we do a stack ranking system against other reality shows. We do a top, middle, bottom, third. Brian, hit me with your rating.
I got to go with top in the middle. Like, I honestly think that this wasn't offensive and just stupid fun.
All right. Noah, what do you got for me?
Bottom, top of the bottom. This show is trash, basically. it's a novelty with the masks. Like, yes, they're good masks, but honestly, the people are not that interesting. The production's not that interesting. The format clearly is not original. If you want something in the background just so it's not awkward and people sitting around in silence, sure, put it on. But that's about as much credit I can give to it.
High praise, though.
Yeah.
ABC, what do you got for me?
Ooh, I feel like this is on the edge of bottom of the middle and top of the bottom, but I'm going to put it bottom of the middle because of the quality of the masks and the hilarious, like, just watching people talk in the masks was pretty great. But this show is not that good, but I would put the trailer on Netflix top of the top.
VJ, what do you got?
I agree with her, bottom of the middle. I think, again, the show is well made. At no point during the tight 23 or 24 minutes did I feel like I need to turn it off, which I feel like that is my categorization for the bottom, where like I'm like, I gotta fucking turn this shit off, and that was never the case. And I am kind of interested to watch one episode of the British version just to like contrast and compare, which if it was truly terrible, I would never even think about that.
Yeah, I couldn't find one. I wanted to do one, like compare contrast, but because that makes a good pod, but couldn't find it. Harrison, what do you got for me?
Yeah, this is going to be a middle third show for me as well. I didn't actively dislike it. I thought that the masks were kind of cool. I don't really feel like the concept of the show ever really pays off the, like, hey, you know, would you actually like this person if you don't, you know, if you don't see what they look like or whatever, because you never get to see them actually date once they're revealed. So you never get to see the after, and after they see what they actually look like, if they're going to be good together. So that's kind of a weird part about this. I don't know, middle third.
James, what do you got for me?
So I'm really torn on this one. I really kind of intended to throw it in the top, but there's a few things that are just like, it needs a little more to give it a hump. So I think the things that I really liked about the show was that it was short and on point. It was the 23 or whatever so minutes. It didn't screw around with a bunch of nonsense. It was quick paced, it was moving. The narrator I enjoyed. I liked that it was a only verbal and not a physical presence, like of a host. And yeah, like the quality of the costumes was phenomenal. Production was decent, but not stellar. And it was just a little bit more of the turn of the crank, I think, to get it to the top. But yeah, so overall middle, but top of the middle. Very enjoyable, generally speaking.
Oh, man. That's clearly a bottom third. I think the show's terrible. Dating shows, if you've got the best dating shows, probably a middle third anyway. So I think dating shows can be rather wrote. Like, I need more of the relationship. I don't like this whole meeting and like, you know, just initial, it's just not enough. Like, I don't care enough. I don't care about these people. You don't get to see what happens next. It's just like, oh, they're wearing crazy good masks. Okay. But it's the same garbage dating format that is boring and I don't want to watch. So bottom third. And that's it for our discussion of Sexy Beasts. Game Over the New Show. Anyone got any shout outs?
Well, you know, I just realized something. I think we're kind of in the middle of Beast Month here on Who Put This On. Last week we did Alone : The Beast.
Yeah,
now this week we've done Sexy Beast. Do we have another beast lined up for next week? Are we going to do Ultimate Beastmaster? What are we going to do?
I don't know.
We got send us your beast shows at Who Put This On.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. We have not done Ultimate Beastmaster, so there that's on the table.
Beast Month.
Beast Month. Yeah, so I'm still watching Taskmaster. Still think it's really good, really good show.
I am currently hunting for season 9 through 11 in a semi-legal way.
You're not supposed to talk about that.
Borderline legal.
I mean, I tried to use a VPN to access from like channel4.com. That didn't work out. They blocked that.
How dare they?
Right?
Bam. Well, in addition to more wonderful Below Deck, which is continuing to roll on, you know, just continually be phenomenal, I have stumbled upon the show The Cube, hosted by Dwayne Wade. It is a reality game show that I don't know that we can do for this podcast, but I really want to get you guys to watch it at some point because I'm just dying to hear these takes. So maybe it's a spinoff. I don't know. But I've been really enjoying it. It's a show on The Cube. I don't know what channel it's on, but it's on whatever live streaming services where you find your live streaming content. It's like a 30-minute show. Basically, some contestants, you have to work your way up through a series of challenges to earn increasing money as you go. I think there's 7 total games. You enter the cube. All of the games are done in this geographic, like, geometry cube. Different challenges such as, like, throwing a ball through a moving door at a certain time thing, throwing so many different, like, things through a hole in a certain time, etc. They're all kind of built around this premise. And you have, I think, 9 lives, so you have to beat 7 games with 9 lives. You have a couple of, like, helping hands. One of the cool things is that you can call an assistant, where Dwayne Wade will enter the cube and do the challenge for you. And I can't remember the second one. There's a second one, which is, like, I don't remember. But anyways, there's 2, like, call-a-friend kind of things. Yeah, it's been really fun. It's really, I don't know, just been enjoyable. I would recommend.
How much do you like the show because it's a good show, and how much do you like the show because it's Dwayne Wade? He used to play for Miami Heat.
Yeah, so full transparency, I am a Heat fan and a Dwayne Wade fan, probably top NBA fan. But I would say Dwayne Wade brought me to the show, but was not the main reason that I stuck around. Show, I think, holds on its own, but obviously I clicked into it because
of
Dwayne Wade.
The way you described it, I found it interesting. It has a bunch of elements of other shows. So, like, these quick games, minute to win it, right? Then you have, like,
who guys wants to be grocery games.
Yep, and you have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You have, like, this ladder thing going on.
Yep.
As well as, like, the dial a friend type person coming in. And then you also have Cat's Physical Being of having 9 lives. Not a game, just a fact. So just I like how they mix it all together.
Just a musical.
Yep.
And no, cats have 9 lives. You ever tried killing a cat?
The musical, though.
Yes, they also produce musicals. Cats are phenomenal beings.
Gross. Don't say that.
Just like feet.
Chris's favorite show, Cats, the Feet edition.
I couldn't make it through that musical. So bad.
Cats?
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I mean, the movie, but the musical?
Yeah, well, the movie, the musical, whatever the fuck that was.
But no, it's a bit of a difference. There was, like, the Broadway play, the musical. It's been, like 20 years. Like,
yeah, I didn't see the musical. I only saw the non-butthole cut of Cats.
We're good.
I mean, I just saw the musical, but they played that commercial when I was young on, like, New York, like, tri-state area TV all the damn time. Like, Cats playing at the Wintergreen Theater. Like, how do I remember that? Why do I remember that? I don't even know what the Wintergreen Theater is. It's a piece of gum. Like, I should not remember this. But
yeah,
I do.
Because it was so scarring. Like, it's just in you forever.
Yeah, it's terrible. Cats.
All right, Harrison, do you have a shout-out this week?
Still working through Inori Love Wagon. Asian Journey continues to be quite a good show that people should really watch.
VJ, you have a shout-out? Yes, no?
No, I got nothing.
All right. ABC and Ori Love Wagon.
Oh yeah, best show of all time.
Noah,
I do have
still Dave.
Dave is ongoing, and that will be continual, as well as Hacks HBO. But that's Hacks is not new. I'm just catching up to it. New one I will shout out to Binge's Hardcore Dr. Death on Peacock. So
say that again.
That's how you're supposed to say it. It's fun. So. Peacock. Cock. So Dr. Death, as many people probably know, is one of the more famous podcast series, and they put in different media now and to a TV show. Excellent. Has a great cast. Alec Baldwin, the main guy from the Mighty Ducks, forgot his name. Charlie Conway. Yeah, he's in it. And then Christian Slater.
I retract my earlier statement. I did watch all of Manifest season 1, 2, and 3 recently, and I like Netflix got me, and then I had to watch season 3 on Hulu. It's all good, and I hope someone freaking uncancels it, because I need some conclusion to this situation.
Wait,
what?
Yeah.
So you're shouting at a show that has like a cliffhanger ending that's canceled?
It has been canceled, and I hope someone. I hope it was not finished. It was canceled, and so I hope someone uncancels it. Right, and I know they're like trying to figure it out, but it was officially canceled, so it will be an uncancellation, or someone else has to pick it up and pay for it.
So this show has also been recommended to me some other friends and family, and so I was curious there. I just hadn't gotten to it, and I didn't know it was canceled, so now I'm like, oh,
it's
no.
A situation, because it is not like the...
So you find yourself getting into it, though. Like, not, I mean, you're all in.
They need to do a season 4.
You're
going
to have to fund this. You got to start like GoFundMe.
It was on... I read something about like how it's like it was number one on Netflix for the second longest of any TV show ever on Netflix. So I'm like, clearly they can fund, like they can figure this out. Like it seems like it can be worth it for them.
There's some contracts, you know. Yeah.
So would you recommend that people watch it if there's never another episode made?
That's tough. Yeah, I probably would. At least season one. I think season one's really enjoyable.
Okay.
I have a quick question. So you binge-watched 3 seasons. How long did that take you, and how recently?
It didn't take me... probably just all over the last month.
Mm.
Right. Okay. There's 30-odd episodes, 43 minutes each. I watch 2-3 at a time some days, so, you know, got a lot of time on my hands.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for us this week. You can find us on Twitter at HoopitTheSon. You can find us on Facebook.com/HoopitTheSon. Email us questions, suggestions at HoopitTheSon@gmail.com. Send us your beast recommendations
and V picks.
Beast mode.
Bye.